The second lesson for this Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's about the parable of the bread and the stone. And you'll notice that Jesus tells his disciples to ask, to seek, and to knock. All verbs. We have to do something. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. May God add his understanding to the reading and hearing of these words.
As I was thinking about what I might share with the kids this morning, I thought, well, if I shared with them that second part of that text where it says if your son asks for a fish, you'd give him a snake, I was thinking some of these kids might actually say I'd prefer the snake, and that wouldn't have worked so well. So I thought, let's avoid that one. I think the stone and the bread worked pretty well for the kids. I think they'd rather have something to eat when they're hungry rather than a stone. You know, I ask a question of us this morning, just generally speaking. If we grew up in a home where there was no moral underpinnings whatsoever, if we grew up in absolute and total dysfunction where everything that went on in that home was of an immoral nature, how would you generally expect a child in that home to grow up? Pretty similar, wouldn't you? I say generally because, boy, I have seen God work miracles in people's lives that have come from nothing. And God has given them a heart of love, and God has transformed them into people that you wouldn't think that would happen. But God has done that. But generally speaking, you'd think that. Well, I think this morning, as we look at the text this morning in Matthew in particular, we're gonna see a little of this. The one who we have a relationship with has a tendency to transform us into someone that maybe we weren't so much before. And I wanted to look at this text again. I'm just following along in some of these parables, some of these stories that Jesus is sharing, and I wanted to share them with us as well and see what we can learn from these. You know, if we're to act right and live right and even judge right, prayer is necessary. You notice this text directly follows the one we talked about last week. We talked about that, how some people take those texts and make them say something they aren't. But you and I are never called to be judgmental, but we are called to hold each other accountable. We do that first and foremost by looking at ourselves first, seeing where our heart is. But I would say, in light of this text this morning, that living our lives without an intimate relationship, an intimate communion with God, it's like a shot in the dark when it comes to doing what is right and living the way we should be living. Without an intimate relationship with God in Christ. Now remember, as I said, we were talking last week about this whole matter of judging others and how Jesus was telling his disciples and those who were gathered within earshot and telling them how they ought to respond to this sort of thing. He wasn't saying that we aren't to hold each other accountable, but he said, you got to come with a right heart and a right mind when we're dealing with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we get to this text, and this text really is a text about prayer. And in this text about prayer, it deals with having a relationship. In the previous text, we were talking about dealing with our own hearts before we deal with another heart, responding with grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation. Those are the things that ought to rule the day when we deal with a brother or a sister in Christ. And likewise, recognizing that that's what God bestows upon us in our life. But in this text here, now we're talking about asking, seeking, and knocking. And some people look at this text and throw out there that, you know, God gives us whatever we want. We just need to ask. We just need to seek and knock. But God's going to give us whatever we want. And boy, that's trying to read some things into this text that I don't believe are there at all. I would gather to say here this morning that these three things that are being talked about are kind of a progressive relationship with God as we are going through that process. First of all, we ask, don't we? We ask for what we wish for, don't we? I mean, we certainly aren't going to ask God for something we don't wish for. Oh, God, please make me hurt today. that's probably not something you and I would ask for, right? We ask for something that we wish for, something that we think would probably make us better people or feel better or deal with a conundrum we're in and we're asking God to help. Whatever it is, we're asking for what we wish for. And at the surface of things, usually when we first ask, oftentimes there is at the center of that a selfish center. We ask so many times, at least initially, because there's something in there that says, I want this because this is going to make whatever it is better, right? So at the beginning, that's what's there. So we're asking for what we wish for. There's nothing wrong with that. God tells us to ask the desires of our hearts, but he does something with our hearts as we're doing all of that. And I like the way this progresses here because first he says, ask. And it'll be given to you. Seek, what's next? I mean, ask what we wish for. We seek for what we miss. I think that's important for us to get this morning. We seek for what we miss. When you're looking for something, you haven't found it yet, right? I've been looking for something that got lost a couple days ago, and I looked everywhere in the house, and I can't find it anywhere. So I'm probably going to get another one, and then I'll find it. Lisa looked, too. And we both thought maybe one of us put it somewhere, and neither of us knows what's up. I think that just happens as we get older, doesn't it? It's the way it is. But I'm seeking. I'm looking. I'm looking, and I can't find it. I've missed something. It's somewhere because I know it didn't leave the house. Well, unless it got accidentally thrown in the garbage, then maybe it would leave the house at that point. And then I'm going to go, you see me in the dumpster on Monday over there. I'll be looking for whatever it is I'm missing. There's some other things missing here, too, as well. But at least I know what I'm missing there. But so when we're seeking, what are we doing? We're seeking for something that we miss. Think about that when we're praying and we're asking. And if we're asking, and we're not just asking, we started out asking for what I wish for. But then as I'm seeking, what am I doing? I'm asking God, as he looks at this whole situation I'm asking about, God, what am I missing? I want to seek for that which you want me to find, because it's going to make this picture more full. It's perhaps going to help me to understand a little bit better what it is that I really need, because what I wished for may not be what I actually need. So I'm seeking. You see that progression there? Starts out with asking. And there's nothing wrong with whatever it is we ask for. You may start out asking for, I would like a new Chevy Denali pickup, crew cab with all the options. about 70 or 80 grand. So I asked for that. But then as I'm seeking, and I'm seeking what I'm missing, what I might be missing is some brains. Because at this point, it would be like, no, that's not in your near future here, that sort of thing. So as I'm seeking, I'm asking God to help me. What am I missing here? Reality. Or a second job or something. But you see, I mean, that was a ridiculous thing I was talking about. But I'm trying to make the point here this morning. I'm asking it first, and then God is showing me, as I now am seeking what I'm missing, He's helping me to see maybe a picture that might be a far better picture than that. You don't need that at all, Dave. But there's some other things that perhaps you need. So we're seeking for what we're missing. And then we go to the third there. We're knocking. We're knocking for what we have been shut out from understanding. Think about that. You ask for what you wish. You seek for what we're missing. And we're knocking because we've been shut out from understanding something. There's a progression there too. God, as I am knocking on your door, on your heart's door, I want you to open up for me that which I don't understand yet. Because we're kind of stubborn sometimes, aren't we? And we just don't get it. And God is trying to help us to get it. So when you take these three phrases together, you can see what's happening. Who's changing? I am. Who's changing in that whole process? I am. God's not changing. God has always been the same. But I'm the one who's changing. I'm becoming more like Him. I want to read the verse again to you with all those verbs there. Because again, it is what we need to do in response to this. Ask. It'll be given to you. Seek. You will find. Knock, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, you can't take them separately. You need to take those collectively. That's how that verse, those two verses together, speak to us. It's a process of becoming more like Him, more like the One who knows what's best for us. And we get to that as we go further on in this text. But I wanted you to get that this morning. We ask for what we wish. Nothing wrong with that. We seek for what we miss. God helps us to understand that what we wish for may not or may be exactly what He wants us to have. We knock for what we have been shut out from understanding, and He opens that door to us. You see, the process of doing these three things draws us into a deeper relationship with God, doesn't it? The process of doing those three things draws us deeper into a relationship with God. So it's good to talk to God about the things that we wish for. It's good to talk to God about the things that we would desire. Because as we do that and we go through this process, we begin to understand more of what God really wants for us, which is better than what you and I think that we want for ourselves. Doing these three things help us to understand His will. How many times people have come into my office and said, I want to know what God's will is, and I don't know what God's will is. And then they expect me especially to say, here's what God's will is for you. I don't really know what God's will is for you, except if you say I want to go out and do something bad, I'll say that's not God's will. I know that much. But sometimes we don't know what God's will is for our life. I would encourage us to go through this process of asking and seeking and knocking. And I think as we do that, more and more God opens up His will for our life. It doesn't always come as a lightning bolt. I wish it would, don't you? God, please help me with this. Bam! Okay, I got the answer. Don't you wish it would happen that way every time? But real life doesn't happen that way most of the time. Doing these three things steers us away from those self-desires. And instead, it promotes God's desire for us. If we get to a point where we know what God's desire is for us, I'll tell you what. Guaranteed, you get what you ask for and seek and knocking. Guaranteed, you'll get that. when you're doing exactly what God desires you to do and you're understanding what God's will for your life really is. In practice, what really happens? He's trying to tell us what really happens in our life. Some of the things that go on in our life happen because we are tainted by sin. You know, it said here, if your child asks your father for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? Well, probably not. But in using hyperbole here, he's saying, while we live here on this earth and we live in an imperfect world and we're tainted by sin, sometimes we receive less than what God really wants for us. Something different than what God really wants for us. You know, I was saying earlier, you know, we as parents affect the way our kids live. Sometimes they get some of the genetic kinds of things that we get. I asked Courtney beforehand if I could share this with her, but in fact, you're chewing gum this morning, aren't you? I was talking to someone before church this morning. I don't chew gum much anymore. Why? Because my wife would leave me. I smack my gum. Courtney smacks her gum too. I asked her for permission ahead of time. So for you who are thinking you are being really cruel to your daughter to point her out. Or the other thing is eating cereal. My brother and Courtney take the cake. I have a little of that myself, too. So some of it probably came from me. It kind of came down from me to you. I'm sorry, I'm tainted. My genetics are affected by previous to me, too. But, you know, we're all, I guess what I'm getting at here this morning, is we're all tainted by sin, aren't we? So our decisions aren't always stellar. Our decisions aren't always perfect. The way we live our life, the way we do what we do, is because of the person who... I'm sorry. There might be a couple good things you got from me as well. So if you're sitting with her during the fellowship hall, if there's something that's got liquid in it, listen. Oh, I love you very much, Courtney. But a lesson to all of you too as well, because I love my wife so much, I don't chew gum much anymore. Because she'll move to the other couch or she'll look at me with that look, you know, in the car. And she looks at me. Yeah. Anyway, when you ask your father for bread, are they going to give you a stone? If you ask your father for a fish, are they going to give you a snake? We are tainted by the way we have grown in a sinful world, and oftentimes what I do or what I may even give to my child or whatever may be tainted by selfish desires of my own heart or whatever. But still, as a parent, for the most part, a decent parent is going to give their child what they really need, right? Like I mentioned to Ben this morning, if you were hungry and you asked your dad for bread, is he going to give you a stone instead? The answer to that is no. I know Rob enough to know that Rob would give you bread if that's what you needed. Or something in the bread like jelly and peanut butter. God, on the other hand, is perfect. God, on the other hand, is always good. Always has our best in mind. And the purpose of this story here, this parable, this thing that Jesus is sharing with his disciples is this. As you seek for what you wish for, as you ask for what you wish for, and you seek for that you're missing, and as you knock for that you've been shut out from understanding and the door gets open to you, you begin to realize what an awesome God you have, and you start behaving more in a manner like God rather than like that person you were before you came to him. And as I asked you earlier here, and I'll close with this, who is changed in the process? We are, aren't we? And as we are changed in the process, we see how this last verse starts to come to light. In everything do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the Law and the Prophets. You see what really is going on here as you and I are exercising this kind of a way of life and prayer. We begin to be changed ourselves, and so we end up doing the good thing that God has called us to do as we live amongst those who are around us. Because God's changed us. Something's different. God didn't change, I changed. And if we're changed, then that golden rule becomes a way of life. So the question may be asked, why pray? It's answered by, we will be changed. By asking, seeking, and knocking, a whole new world opens up to us. Because you and I begin to see what God sees. That's why there's power in prayer. Remember that. So let's pray. God, we sometimes go to you with the wrong attitude. We start with the asking and leave it there. God, I need this. God, I want this. God, the desire of my heart is for this. Sometimes we stop right there. And we don't allow ourselves to go through the process in that intimate relationship with you of not just asking, but seeking for that which I'm missing. Because sometimes we can be stupid. Sometimes we think only through this narrow focus of our own eyes, tainted by sin. And as we're seeking for that which we miss, we begin to understand your will. And even though there's still some things we don't quite understand when we're seeking, and we start to knock to that which we have not been opened or privy to yet, we knock and you open the door to give us a better understanding of what your will for our life is. Help us, dear God, to be in that kind of prayer with you. All three pieces should be a part of our prayer life. And I confess, dear God, sometimes I start and end with the first one. I just ask and don't go any further. And then I wonder sometimes why, when I ask, it doesn't seem to be answered. Help us, dear God, to be taught by your word in regards to prayer. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.